The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They making plans. We sit and count our chair to stack it just like a mouse. Before we get to the Bears complaining over the blocked field goal and sending it into the NFL, our guy, Mr. NFL, NFL boy, actually, has some complaining of his own to do. Chew, you're feisty this morning. Got a little edge going on. What's happening?
It's fine. It's just the general pulls the boss card every now and then.
You just called her the general. Sending some mixed messages
here. She's the general.
You have to salute her every morning?
Yeah.
General?
It's just, and I know where she gets it from. And I know where she gets it from. It's just she gets in these moods of directing traffic when there's no traffic.
Okay.
She's the boss. She's been a boss her whole life. She's a boss now. But it kind of translates over to the house. Like, okay, here we go. She wanted big potted plants, right? Around the outside. Which
okay.
is fine. I like it.
Yeah, because you guys don't really have a lawn or anything down there, right? So
no.
You have some sort of,
but
you know,
it, but
some
it,
sort of
it was
green
her
life.
Deal. So it was her deal. But then it turned into my deal. And then it turns into the micromanaging. You know, we will have been married 14 years this year. Okay. She's never potted a plant.
Not once.
Okay. I've done 14 years. So I kind of had a feeling it would be my job, but now it's like, you know, you got to take dirt out of that plant and you got to knock the roots off and, you know, you got to water them when you're done and, you know, this is going to make a big mess. So go do it over here. And I'm like, and Dyson, my one son, used to say it as a kid and I used to laugh. He'd just say, "You're not the boss of me." So I had to pull that today. I said, I don't work for you.
Wait, this morning already you had to pull that?
But it was a kid. So we walked around the property, and because of the hurricane, we thought we lost a huge bush in the front, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out we didn't. So she was going to spray paint the thing silver for Christmas, right? And I'm like, pump the brakes. Because the salt water got up there, and my neighbor's like, you don't know what's going to come back. They plant hardy things here. So I'm like, so then I went in and said, don't paint the thing silver. There's growth coming. Those are weeds. You know how many times she's cut the grass in 14 years of marriage?
Well, can I guess?
You know how many times?
Can I guess?
Do you know how many times she's pulled a weed in 14 years of marriage?
Ooh, I can guess.
I know what a weed is. It's not a weed. The bush is coming back. Don't paint it yellow. I didn't say anything. The final straw was, there's ants in the mailbox.
Are you putting pieces of cake in the mailbox?
I'll melt some Hershey's chocolate. I'll slather it on the ants and I'll eat them.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do that, then you got to make sure you have the celery so you have the ants on the log.
So then, Gabe, I had to pull the, I don't work for you. I am aware.
How does that go? How does that go for
Jen,
you?
Jen, you ever get there? Do you ever get to that point where it's just like,
I don't do well.
I don't do well with stating the obvious.
Is it possible, Chew, that this just bothers you on a core level? On a basic level, because it is one of your favorite things in the entire world, botany. Like, you are the botanist of, you know, you are the plant guy. You are the grass guy here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So she's really questioning what you consider to be an expertise.
My expertise. Yes. Yes. And I move at a pace, okay? Because...
Yeah, forward is a
pace.
It's got time.
I don't have, you know, a ton to do down here. So I can take this pot thing and stretch it for 3 or 4 days. And yeah. then on to the next.
Gives you something to do.
Yeah. So, and she knew it. She just has to be snapped out of it, you know? So I think she snapped out of it.
It wasn't a fight.
It's just like.
Does the I don't work for you snap her out of it, Chew?
Yeah, because she realizes what she's doing. It's either that one or stay in your lane. I think this was beyond stay in your lane.
But, I mean, while that certainly helps, and you say, hey, I don't work for you, and that snaps her out of it, I hate to break this to you, bud. Sounds like you kind of work for her.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Unpaid.
Yeah. Put it on the poll.
Like, I'm just, I mean, it sounds like, again, I'm not there, so I don't know specifically, just the way you're describing it sounds like you might, you know, work for her.
I really want to be able to play the Chewy Was Right drop right now, but I'm not sure we can. When you tell your wife, I don't work for you, there's a part of me that wonders if you do, in fact, work for her, Chew.
So do all husbands work for their wives? I think they do.
I mean, half a cup.
But see, back in the day when I was wronged by a roommate or something like that, there was always retaliation. And I it's a different kind of retaliation. Like the best one ever, Jen, the best with the roommate is putting Nair in the shampoo.
That is so cruel.
Is it really neat? Is it neat or Nair? It's Nair, right?
Nair. I think it's Nair, yeah.
Do people know what Nair is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Gotta imagine.
They do?
Yeah, it's like a hair removal cream.
Yeah.
It could be good for you.
So you would put that in your roommate's shampoo bottle.
Would it make them bald?
Josh, totally. Something's going to happen.
Not totally.
I was to say, it feels pretty significant what it was. Because I've seen it work on... I've seen... Men like lose bets and have to put on their leg. Takes every leg hair right off that sucker.
Does.
Yeah, it grows back though. But it grows back.
Smooth as a baby's
behind. If you're
young,
it grows back.
If you're young, yeah. If you do that to, you know, yeah, somebody older, that's a big risk. Who knows if it comes back?
So what you're saying is
I know you guys didn't. I know you listen. I know you. I go in there on Thursdays and record the drinking buds.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell a story. The last one was really good, and that just shows you the level me and my roommate Bull would take things to.
Well, I want to make sure I'm following your train of thought here, Chew. You're asking us, when you talk about retaliation, should you be able to retaliate against your wife, or you're disappointed that you can't retaliate against your wife?
I think he's a little scared because he might get retaliation from his wife.
Like, I want to put a ton of ants in the mailbox.
Yeah, don't do that.
Which is harmless, right? But she doesn't like bugs.
See, but
I'd never take it to the Nair.
You're going to have to clean up the anything that you do. You think you're going to win the battle of retribution?
No, well, hold on. He may win the battle, Joshy.
Not the war.
He's going to lose the war.
I can tell you this. I can tell you this from going to a lot of college football games. People that have no clue about football or state the obvious. I cannot sit in the stands anymore. That's how annoying it is.
Sure. Or is that the excuse you tell
Stating
your son so you can leave after the first quarter?
Drives me crazy. No, the only way I'd go watch him is if I'm in a box now or the stadium is completely empty.
Okay, let's unpack this, buddy. What do you mean by stating the obvious? What do you mean by that?
You know, if they get 3 yards here, they'll get a first down.
Okay.
Oh, really? Thanks. Didn't know that, you know? You know, they need 10 yards here. Oh, it's 3rd and 10. Oh, yeah. Great. Wow. Thanks for sitting next to me and filling me in. There was one this weekend that, what was it? It just drove me absolutely insane.
Wait, where were you?
I think generally. I can't remember, but someone stated the obvious and I'm like, wow, thanks. That was insight. Like,
how are these connected?
It's the stating of the obvious. It's what drives him crazy. It drives him crazy with his wife. It drives him crazy if he's out. If anybody's stating the obvious, Chewy can't stand it. Because he is a perceptive person. He can tell when it's 3rd and 10. But this is a problem for you, Chew, because I know how much you enjoy going out for football Sundays or Saturdays and kind of keeping an eye on all the different games, but you just don't like being around the people.
All right, Jen, this is what drives me nuts right here. And I know we're going to talk about it. Okay, you talked about the field goal against the Bears,
uh-huh.
right? That's a penalty. That's a penalty, right? Now, because there was no penalty, the fans when you can't look at things subjectively, it drives me crazy, okay? Because Packers fans love the fact that it wasn't a penalty, even though I think it was a penalty. If they called that, they'd flip to the other side and say, that's crazy, that's not a penalty, blah, blah, blah.
Well, sure, but that's just the dynamic of fandom, right? Like, when you support a team, you're willing to overlook their flaws, their issues, right? And we saw a little bit of that yesterday, guys. We got people coming out of the woodwork who want to tell us how great this Packers team is. Never doubted. They're the best. We talked about this yesterday. Like, this team has warts. This team has things it needs to clean up if it wants to be one of the top teams in the league. But you saying that to some of these Packers fans out there, woo-hoo, lose their mind on you. You're negative.
Which is fine,
like, you guys have been accused of all season long. Gabe, don't you talk about that pass rush? Don't you talk about that lack of pass rush?
Lack of pass. I mean, I would love to talk about a pass rush, Chen. Love it.
I could care less about those people because I know what they are. And I'm fine with them because I know what they are.
Sounds like you're not fine with them, though.
No, I am. I dismiss them. That's great. You know, give them the Super Bowl trophy now, you know? But that's part of, like, I can't talk to you because to you, the sky is yellow when it comes to fan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right or wrong?
So we are going to get to this with Jason Wilde when he comes on in just a few minutes, but you are saying that should have been a penalty, that the NFL rule is that a long snapper is considered a defenseless player and that you have to give him a second, right? You have to give him time before you can hit that player. And the Packers had a couple of guys who were all over the long snapper for the Bears on the blocked field goal. And again, the result benefited the Packers. So it is going to be tough for some Packers fans to say that it was, in fact, a penalty. The refs missed it. It does feel like, and we can maybe have this larger conversation as the show goes on, but is officiating bad again? Officiating
no,
across
it's not
the league?
Bad.
I mean, I don't know about Jen, again. It's
not, when was it
it's
good?
It's not bad. It's not bad, it's stupid, is what it is. Because this rule should be so black and white where they say, you cannot touch the center. Take the subjectiveness out of it. You can't touch them. You just can't. You can't touch them. And then it's easy to call. Now, Josh, you correct me if I'm wrong. I thought I used to short snap, not very well, but I used to do it. My understanding is you have to allow the center to be able to get his head up, which I don't think happened on that play.
That is my understanding. I do not know how correct it is because there is like three or four different layers to what you can and cannot do. You cannot use the backs of the players to leverage yourself up and get more air. You cannot line up directly over the center. You can now line up on like an inside shade though, technically. And yes, there's supposed to be a beat for them to put their head up for safety reasons.
But at the same time, like, all those things I think are true, Josh, but they're so inconsistent, Chu, on when they do or do not call it. It's like Giannis. It's like when Giannis is at the free throw line, does he take more than 10 seconds? Yeah, absolutely. But they never call it. So I never understand when they decide to call it and when they don't decide to call it. It's the same thing. So many teams do this. I don't know when they decide to throw the flag and not decide to throw the flag because everybody does it.
Of the two things to be frustrated about, I think you have a better case for them not running another play. There were 30 seconds left on the clock. That, to me, if I was a Bears fan, that would be the thing that would really be under my skin today was, and I'm not, again, they showed the numbers. I don't remember exactly what they were, but it was like the percentage difference from the one distance to what could have been the other distance had you run another play and gathered a few more yards was enough to make a case for it. So of the things that you're upset about in the aftermath of the game, feels like that's the thing that should be number one with a bullet. And yes, the penalty, again, Gabe, to your point, if they don't call it with any consistency, you may as well flip a coin.
Yeah.
As a fan base, you may as well flip a coin as to whether or not it's going to get called in your favor at any given time.
Which is why, I mean, if there's a game-winning field goal situation, Chewy, in any game, just bum rush the center. And if they call it, I mean, it's your best chance at blocking a field goal, right? And if you block it and they don't call it, sweet. If they end up throwing the flag, all right, well, we gave it a shot.
But if you make that gap dead, just dead, where no one can be in that gap, it's really not a big deal, right? Now, the reason they do it, obviously, because it's in the line of, obviously, where the kicker wants to kick, and it's the shortest distance, right?
Yep.
But look what they've done with kickoff return and stuff like that. I mean, just take that gap away where you cannot touch the center. And then it takes all the subjectiveness out of it, and then it's never a problem.
You can't.
Now, I think Eberflus is just trying to hang on to his job,
yes.
Which he shouldn't. That's all he's doing. But, I mean, I'm just saying from the standpoint of if they did call the penalty, there would be a percentage of the base that would be absolutely outside their mind. Rightfully so, and that's a fan. But I don't look at football like that. I look at it like so. There's A team and there's B team, right? And you interpret the rules as follows.
And Chu, one of the things you said yesterday that I think was really interesting, I was talking about this with my husband last night, was if you looked at the box score of that game and you looked at the team stats of that game, blind resume style, you would have thought the Bears won that game. They had time of possession.
Yeah.
They had first downs. They had, I mean, all of these big categories that oftentimes dictate the outcome of the game, Gabe. Chewy was like, if you looked at these two things, you would think the team that had 36 time of possession to 22 and had, it was as many first downs.
The rushing yards, yeah.
You would have thought that the Bears won that game, and I'm sure that they're thinking that as well. So the Bears are going to send it to the NFL. I'm not sure it does any good. Maybe the NFL tells officials, hey, well, watch this going forward in the final seven games of the season.
I think teams do this every week. Not, they don't always publicize it, but I'm guessing that teams have a handful of plays that they send to the league office.
Oh, we used to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, keep it.
Yeah.
It's basically
three
what
or
you
four
said.
Plays, and the league would come back and say, oh, we made the wrong call there. Oh, thanks. I feel so much better now.
Here's the.
It's really futile. It's stupid.
The big thing with changing or making the rule more clear cut and less subjective is the NFL wants field goals to get blocked. It's an exciting play. It has so much involved with it that changes the course of the game. And I'm going to be honest, they're not all that concerned about the health and safety of the long snapper as opposed to the quarterback or the running back or the wide receiver. So if they don't line up over the gap and they're not like just totally blowing that guy up, they're probably going to continue to let it go. They'll tell the Bears, sorry, we missed one, but we'll see it again next week and the week after that, because
and
that's what they want.
Who on the officiating crew is supposed to be doing the 1-1000? Who's doing the 1-Mississippi?
I believe it's the line judge. There should be someone right behind this, the defender on the other side. Well,
the umpire? I think it's the umpire, yeah.
We always talk about how Aaron Rodgers sort of manipulates the play clock a little bit because there's that, like, freeze frame, half frame in there of when it goes to zero, and then the official is looking over to see if the ball was snapped, so you sort of get that tiny little bit of extra time. Could this happen as well, or is the guy literally watching and going, 1 Mississippi, up, oh, there it was, he got his head up, or up, oh, there was the 1 second, you know what I mean? It feels a little bit too, what's the word I'm looking for? It's too fluid. It's
nebulous.
Too fluid of a nebulous is the word exactly. Thank you, Joshy, for being locked in there. I appreciate you, buddy. It feels a little too nebulous to be able to call with any sort of certainty or any sort of consistency.
Yeah, I also think if you're not making direct contact, how are you supposed to judge that? Like, if that guard pushes down the guy over him, what is he supposed to do in that situation then?
Up. I'm out of the play. I can't rush anymore.
Right. Like, it is what it is. It's really compact down there.
Did you guys look at the play? Because if Packers fans should say, we got away with one there. I mean, it happens in the game. It's part of the game, but we kind of got away with one there. Because that's how I looked at it.
That's not how I looked at it.
You can't sit there and go,
that's not how I looked at it, Chu, because again, it happens so often in every other NFL game if it's not called with any sort of consistency.
Yeah, but just apply the rule, Gabe, to the play. Don't look at anything else. Just apply the rule to the play.
Yeah,
don't
but how
look
is
at the
rule,
Bears when they got called.
But how is the rule actually like applied in practice? It's not. You know, it's the same thing again. Like, does Giannis take 10 seconds at the free throw line every time, Chu? Yeah, he goes over every time. I have no idea the rhyme or reason behind when they call it. Just like, I have no idea, and the Bears are upset because they got called for one of these a week or two ago. I have no idea the rhyme or reason as to why the Bears got called for it where the Packers did not. Because it happens all the freaking time.
Yeah.
There's just no consistency.
All right, we got some polls we need to work on this morning. One of them is definitely going to be, is how much trouble is Chewy in when he gets home, or is Chewy in trouble when he gets home or when his wife gets home? People reacting to Chewy this morning. Chewy, you are now officially get off my lawn guy. That from Chef Ed.
Officially?
Ho Dag Steve
I've
says,
always been.
Chewy, you got a little long snapper arrogance happening right now.
Hold on.
Gabe's going to pull up the list and throw it on the list. We got to get to Jason Wilde. He's coming up next. We'll talk to Jason Wilde about the San Francisco 49ers. Sounds like Brock Purdy might be dealing with something, but will he be good to go this weekend? Because that has been a trend with the Niners. We'll discuss that with Jason Wilde right after this. That's Chewy. He's on a website.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Let's get right to it with our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I don't know. I think maybe that there should have been a penalty on that field goal attempt.
Are you you're mimicking Bears right now? What's happening right now?
Well, sir. Well, no. I mean, the Bears did complain, right? They sent it into the league. And here's the thing. I want to make fun of them, because that's apparently what the cool kids do. But I'm not sure they're wrong. And if the Packers hadn't benefited from it earlier in the season, when Jeffrey Simmons of the Tennessee Titans was called for it on Braden Narveson's 48-yard missed field goal, I might be more dismissive of it. But the bottom line is Matt LaFleur had exactly the right answer. And that is, this is exactly why. I mean, he basically said, don't trust our officials in this league because you could get screwed. And he said, there's been plenty of penalties that I thought should have been called that weren't. And that's why I always preach to the guys. And he does. He's not saying this because it sounds good. I've heard him talk about this with the team, with us, many times in 6 years. Do not let it be in the officials' hands to begin with, because that's the kind of stuff that gets you beat. He usually says, get your ass beat.
Jason, isn't it kind of the league's fault? Because they could make it very simple and just say, you cannot touch the long snapper. That inside gap on either side of the center is dead. It's dead. You can't be in it. So they kind of bring it on themselves.
Right. And then they obviously don't apply it consistently. Right. I mean, that guy gets, sometimes they call it, sometimes they don't. I mean, my whole point with my little whiny voice was that they very rarely call it. Like, when they called it in the Tennessee game, I was like, really? Like, and again, I talk to Matt Orzech a lot, just because he's one of the guys that kind of hangs out in the locker room, and he's an interesting guy. So I talked about this with him after that happened, and he's like, yeah, it happens on most kicks to some varying degrees. Now, do I think in the Packers' case on the game winner that it was egregious enough that the flag should have been thrown? No, probably not. But the bottom line is that when you make a rule and then you enforce it with varying consistency, then you have a situation here where, I mean, it's not like the Bears are expecting them to proclaim, I doth declare that that does not count and the Bears have won. So I don't know what you accomplish other than looking like you're complaining, which you are. But this exposes yet another example of the NFL having an inconsistency with how they mete out their rules.
But that, I mean, Jason, teams do this all the time. They just don't publicly declare that they've sent plays in to be looked at and reviewed by the league, right?
Yeah, how did that – somebody told me about – who did Matt Eberflus – announced that in like his Monday press conference?
Yes, he did. He most certainly did.
What is he? I'm glad he looks good with that new hairdo. Now, I suppose I have to acknowledge that back in the day, your old coach, Chew, Holmgren used to bring that up all the time. Like, He was the king of, we sent four plays into the league, and here's what I sent in, and this is crap.
Yeah.
But that's that is very rarely done 20-plus years later.
Jason?
Yeah, Jerry Rice fumbled. They told us.
He did. It's true. It happened.
Yeah.
Jason, what are the vibes surrounding Jordan Love after the game this weekend? He threw another interception. Gabe has kind of told us, just get ready for it. Every week, it's coming at some point. But it seemed like he made progress and was sort of evolving in other areas. What was the vibe in 1265?
Yeah, I think it was a great day. I mean, a great day. Yes, he threw that pick, but it wasn't because he made a dumb decision, right? He sailed the ball. I still don't. I asked LaFleur about this yesterday. I don't know if he threw it so high that Tucker Kraft thought that he was throwing it to someone behind him, right? Did you see how Tucker Kraft kind of brings his arms down?
I think he didn't want to tip it, Jason.
Oh, okay.
He didn't want to tip it. Yeah.
So, because I asked LaFleur about that too, because I said, I know you don't watch the TV copy, but there was a camera right behind him, and you could see him bring his arms down as it sailed over his head. But it was a bad throw, and I would much prefer him, sail a ball than decide to underhand the ball as he's falling down out of bounds in his end zone to the opponent. But I thought he looked like the guy we expected him to be this year, didn't you? Like, he was able to use his legs. He stood in. I mean, the completion. Have you guys rewatched the completion to Watson to set up the game-winning touchdown, the 60-yarder?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gets popped.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like, he stands in against that. He made some plays with his legs. He extended some plays. Now, I know he only threw 17 passes. He was fearless and maybe a little dangerous and foolish on that run to the pylon before his sneak to take the lead. But I thought, for the first time since Brazil, he looked confident, healthy, decisive. And again, part of it is being healthier and his knee not bothering him as much and his groin not bothering him as much. But I keep saying it. I know I sound, repetitive. But he took every single offensive snap with the number one offense on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday last week. And if that's not proof that you're a better player when you practice, I don't know what is.
Jason, what's going on with Jair?
Great question. Certainly better than, I could have just probably gone that route with my question yesterday. And you know this from my time covering you, like one of the third rails that I don't want to touch is questioning a guy's heart or his health. Mm-hmm. Or his commitment to his team. But I it's hard, and I tried to ask it in the most respectful way possible of LaFleur yesterday. It's hard to understand a player who goes through a pregame warm-up. They decide among the coaching staff, the medical staff, and the player, okay, we're going to have you be active. We'll put you on a pitch count. But if you feel good enough to play, we want you to play. We need you. You're one of our guys. And then they put him on a pitch count. He plays 10 snaps in the first two or three series, and then he's done for the day. I find myself wondering, and I am happy to ask him this if I get the, because he and I have a good working relationship. I didn't try to talk to him last week. He did not do any group interview, but I know Rob Domofsky talked to him last week. I have no problem approaching him in the locker room and saying, look, I have to ask you this. Do you feel like if you're not 100%, you can't play? Because he said something to that effect last year when he was dealing with his injuries. And I want to go back and find the exact quote. But that's what I find myself wondering. And if that's how you felt, like, I'm not saying Robert Rochelle the musical, has made the long journey from Milan to Minsk to all-pro corner. But you would certainly rather have a guy who's healthy enough to play than somebody who leaves you skating a man down after 10 snaps. So I don't know is the answer that I can give you, but the suspicion I have is that if he's not 100%, there's something about trying to play. Like, look, if we're being honest, when he, as a young player, one of the things that stood out to me was how, despite being kind of diminutive, how he was fearless when it came to tackling. And then he got run over by Najee Harris by the Steelers a few years ago. Remember, what must that have been?
21?
21. Yeah, 21, right? And then you saw him on that Deebo Samuel run, him and Za'Darius Smith, who was also not really interested in doing anything for the team, both having a chance on 3rd and 7 on Deebo Samuel in that playoff game, and neither one tackling him. Like, he went from being the most willing undersized corner tackler to, and I, again, I don't blame him. I mean, he jacked up his shoulder and missed most of that season trying to make that tackle. But after that injury, he was not the same tackler. So again, I don't know. He's not the easiest guy to understand when you try and kind of pin him down on things, but it's hard to understand why he was active. If you were already going to put him on a pitch count, LaFleur said he knew the risk, but down deep inside, he has to be irritated. I can't imagine he's not.
Jason, is part of this team's struggles on third down because nobody has truly emerged as that number one go-to guy in the receiving corps? You know, like when
that's
you
an interesting question.
Well, because when you have Devontae, oh, hey, 3rd and 7, we got this play for Devontae, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Jordy or Greg Jennings, you can go back in the lineage of Packers receivers. But is that part of it, that they just don't have, oh, 3rd and 7, we've got this go-to play because we know that Romeo Doubs is going to get open here and he's our guy?
Do you remember when we first started with me being on the show and we used to do like this weird, like rapid-fire question?
Yeah.
Like the
spin
that
we used to spin something, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I just want to state for the record, because we had some bumps in the road there. The questions on this program, don't tell KBN, but the questions on this program are the best that I get all week. So I really appreciate having to think about my answers. Sorry.
Are you complimenting us to stall so you can come up with an answer?
No. I think it's important to compliment people. I really do. I think that's really important, and we don't do it enough. I think it's a great question, and I'm not stalling because I think you're exactly right. And I thought Romeo Doubs was that guy. And now I don't know what Romeo Doubs is. Like, he came back from his pouting and got some pretty good opportunities in back-to-back games. And I thought, okay, all is right with the world. And then he hasn't been much of a factor of late. What did he have, one catch? I know they only threw 17 passes, but he only had one catch, right? Mm-hmm. And he had a drop on his first target.
Yep.
I don't know. And let's be honest, third down and red zone are both critical situations. And that had been a place. I mean, he led them in red zone touchdowns last year with 7. He was their go-to guy on third down. I still think there's something, and I don't have any evidence, it's just a gut feeling, but I still feel like there's something bubbling under the surface with him, and I don't know what it is, but he's inconsistent and not a factor like you would like him to be. I would also add this, I'm not proud of this, but I was asking about Christian Watson yesterday to LaFleur, and I usually have a pretty good filter, but I was asking about how important it was for Watson to have a game like that for him and for the team. And I said, this is a guy who had not been involved nearly enough. And, he didn't complain. He didn't just not show up for work one day. And as soon as I said, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that in the press conference. But it's true. I mean, give him credit, mm-hmm. because if anybody had any right to complain and, you know what, and moan, because I don't know if I can say that and not get dumped by Josh. It was him, and he has never done that. And I respect the hell out of him for doing that.
Jason, 10 games of data points now for Jeff Hafley's defense. Would you say that they are ahead of schedule? on pace or behind schedule for where this defense needs to be for a championship caliber team?
I think they're slightly ahead of schedule, not like way ahead of schedule. Look, Sunday was not good for them, right? Like,
the third and fourth down defense were a glaring issue.
Yeah, I mean, when you add in the fourth down and you're 12 of 16 in converting third or fourth downs, and your opponent was 6 of 40 going into the game over the last three games on third down. Yeah, that's not great, Bob. And on top of that, like, I think clearly Jeff Hafley and that defensive staff knew that, look, they are going to try to get the ball out of their quarterback's hand quickly. He got sacked 9 times last week. That's got to be part of it. Now, we don't talk to Hafley until Thursday, but it did appear, and Kenny Clark flat out admitted it after the game, that they were unprepared for the amount of running that Williams did, it's never good when a player says, we didn't really prepare for that. Now, I would come back and say, if the bevy of first-round draft picks on that side of the ball was playing better and contributing more, maybe you would have handled some things a little bit better. But I understand that the prisoner of moment, as Tausch likes to say, reaction is that they're behind schedule or they're not very good. But they weren't very good on Sunday. I get that. I thought what they did against Detroit, though, which just hung 50-some points on Jacksonville, who I know is bad, on Sunday, shows you that when the game is a big game, they've played pretty well. So I don't have a problem with where they're at, though.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We got to take a break. A lot of interesting stuff there that we can dive into when we get back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Guys, I want to talk to you about something important. You. Taking care of your health and appearance isn't just about looking good. It's about feeling strong and confident and ready to take on the world. At Quintessa Aesthetic Center, they make it easy. With experts in advanced skincare, body contouring, and anti-aging treatments, Quintessa is here to help you stay sharp and at your best. When you look good, you feel even better. So why wait? Visit myquintessa.com and take the first step towards a more confident you. That's myquintessa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview. The way he talks, he sounds like Paul McCartney.
Ringo farted and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Where would you say the new Packers defense is at this point of the season for a championship hopeful team? Ahead of schedule, on pace, behind schedule? And the reason I bring it up is because, guys, we knew that there was going to be a learning curve. We knew there was going to be a transition period. And yet, to the point that Jason Wilde was making, the third and fourth down defense on Sunday against the Bears was atrocious. There's no other way of describing it. They won the game, yes, so you could argue that it didn't end up hurting them in the standings. But it is one of those things that will hurt them against better teams, against teams that are able to put more points on the board and take advantage of that futility. Gabe, where are you at on the third and fourth down defense and why it struggled so mightily against the Bears?
Well, again, a lot of that was Caleb Williams, and they basically said, we did not prepare for that. That wasn't when they had taken on other mobile quarterbacks earlier this year, the Jalen Hurtses, the Kyler Murrays, you know, part of the excuse of, well, we didn't get a pass rush is because we wanted to make sure we stayed disciplined in our lanes. And after the game, almost to a man, everybody on that defensive front said, yeah, we got undisciplined. We weren't ready for him. That wasn't something we prepared for, him running the football.
Okay,
so I think that was a big part of it.
Yes, but I went through and charted each of the third and fourth downs in that game, Gabe, and of the 19, and I know Jason keeps using the number 16, and that's because 3 of those third downs led to fourth down, so you don't want to double count it.
Yeah.
But on the 19 that I charted, I only have 4 scrambles by Caleb Williams for a first down.
But even on, so let's take a look at the third and the one that they didn't pick up at the end of the game. him escaping the pocket was not something that the Packers were, again, accounting for. He escapes the pocket. Yeah, he doesn't run there, but he's able to extend the play by throwing it and getting a 16-yard gain to set up a fourth and manageable when it's third and 19. So even if he didn't run it, he was escaping the pocket. He was able to use his mobility, which is something that under the previous regime, he wasn't really doing.
That's kind of a big swing and a miss, though, because what they think, he was all of a sudden going to become a good pocket passer and pick him apart. I mean, that's what they should teach young quarterbacks that are struggling. First read, second read, run. First read, second read, run.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but that's clearly what they weren't doing before, and then the new coordinator did.
Well, to Kenny Clark's point, didn't expect it. What did you expect? You didn't even have a tackle. You're not even on the flipping box score. Were you even there?
Technically, I think he might have been. Can't say for
but
sure.
But to answer your question, Jen, they're right where I thought they'd be. They're pretty much right where that. Now, there are some players that got to be upgraded, right? I mean, there are certainly players that have to be upgraded. And I said, you know, I'm not really huge on the Super Bowl this year. I am next year in the following year. But I was kind of surprised in what Rob said about Jair yesterday, in fact, that I don't know if they're going to give him another contract. So there's a huge piece, a lockdown corner, that may not be here in 2 years, Gabe.
What are the let me ask you this, Chu.
They can get out from him this year if they want.
Yeah, if they wanted to. But what are the two most important pieces of any defense? If you're building a defense from scratch, what are the two things that you are looking for?
Well, corner and D-line. That's the Ron Wolf theory. You know, this is what I don't understand, Gabe. This is what I don't understand. You're damn 7-3.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you want to be on the field? Don't you want to be on the field for this national game on Sunday where you're playing, you know, a Super Bowl opponent and the lights are going to be on? I mean, don't you want to play if you're 90-95%? I mean, I would think most guys would. And that what that tells me is if you're not willing to play 100%, at 100%, then you're playing for the money. You're playing for that next contract. And I get it, but, there's nothing like having a Super Bowl ring, I'll tell you that.
Jair being on the field against the Bears notwithstanding, you will recall that Rob Domofsky did tell us headed into the trade deadline that cornerback, he thought, was their biggest need. So this is not like we're just having this conversation now. Now that has passed, so that you do not have that avenue to go out and make your team better. But it does feel like, Gabe, the two things that they struggle the most with right now are the two things that Chewy just mentioned as the most important pieces.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, you asked Jason the question, where do you think they are? I think they're behind. There are a lot of things that Jeff Hafley does that I like, but any defensive coordinator is going to be limited if you can't get pressure with four and you don't have cornerbacks you can trust. Like, for the first time in, probably since Nick Collins was here, I actually trust the safeties, but I feel kind of, that cornerback position's not great, especially when Jair's not out there. So you've got two big positions going into the next offseason that you're going to have to take a long, hard look at, and it's going to be hard to be able to replace both of those or fix both of those in one off season. It's going to be really hard to do because usually you thought that both were solved because you gave Rashawn Gary a bunch of money. You gave Jair Alexander a bunch of money.
Drafted Van Ness.
Yeah. And you thought that these positions were solved and they are very much up in the air.
800-990-3776. React to our poll. Would you say the new Packers defense at this point of the season is ahead of schedule, on pace, or behind schedule? Some of that is going to come down to your own expectations of what Jeff Hafley would be able to do with pieces that he didn't purchase, right? We always talk about the chef and buying the ingredients for their meal. Are they ahead of schedule, on pace, or behind schedule? And again, we cannot ignore the struggles that this defensive unit had against the Bears this past week on third and fourth down. You think it'll be any easier against the 49ers this week? 49ers are stumbling a little bit, and we're going to talk about that as the show goes on. Do we believe the injury report coming out of San Francisco when they talk about Brock Purdy and some of these other guys being injured? Do you think they will be at full strength when the Bears play them this weekend? We'll get into all that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on. Stick around.
You know how much we love Palermo's Pizza here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Palermo's family of brands includes Palermo's Urban Pie, Connie, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, just to name a few. And with all the sports going on, anytime you want to kick back and watch, you want to throw a Palermo's pizza in the oven. I always make sure I've got some in my freezer for weekends, whether it's college football, whether it's pro football. I want to make sure that a delicious Palermo's pizza follows me when I'm watching these games. One reason that Palermo's has done this, and you're going to be, I mean, how do they have this many brands? They're this good at creating this many frozen pizza? Because they've been doing it here in Wisconsin for 60 years. So find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. You all right, back there?
That's so true.
It was a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
She got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Game tonight at Fiserv Forum, guys. Golden Eagles taking on Purdue. No, it is not the Purdue team of last year with Zach Edey. Marquette hung with Purdue, though, when they played them last year. Gabe's got his Purdue gear on. Good grief, what is happening now where I'm saying the opposite teams? Is it opposite day? I said earlier, apparently, that the Bears were playing San Francisco. Didn't even know I said it. You didn't even hear me say it. But you've got your Marquette gear on. I've got my Marquette gear on. How are you feeling about the team? How are you feeling about the game tonight?
I'm excited for the game. I mean, Purdue's coming in off of a huge win, so they've just climbed up in the rankings. Marquette has kind of stayed stagnant. It's a good test game. Marquette had a good test game against Maryland on Friday night. It's a good way to test you going into what's going to be a very good Big East, because this team still has so much youth on it. Having these games early in the season is just going to give you opportunities to learn and grow and start to build something toward the conference season.
Cam Jones named Big East Player of the Week. We've got a lot of people talking about how he could be one of the best players in the country this year, which would be incredible for the program, incredible for him. They could send another guy to the association. I got a beef, though. 8 o'clock tip. So Chewy won't see a stitch of the game, right?
Because he was going to look at it. I mean, it's not like he was going to watch anyway.
I mean, come on, a big game against Purdue. Chewy might. You might pique his interest a little bit, but not at 8 p.m., not at 9 p.m. his time. Right, Chew?
No, 3 o'clock would have been perfect. Hey, did they do the Maui Invitational and the Battleship and all
this
stuff this
year? No, that's all like next week.
Okay, because I thought I missed it, because I kind of like those things.
Yeah. Yeah, Marquette not participating
in any of that. In any of them?
Nope. They did their own thing called the Marquette Challenge.
Battleship one's the best. And you're a hater, Gabe.
Well, they haven't.
You don't like the aircraft carrier. I think it is the greatest thing ever. I think they should move the aircraft carrier while they play.
They haven't done that in like a decade.
Like a cruise ship?
Yeah. They haven't done that game in like a decade.
Hey, look, Gabe. We all played basketball outside and had to adjust to the wind.
Yep.
It can be done.
Just feels like there was a lot less on the line for those games in the backyard or at the local park.
It's because also, when the rest of the games are played inside, going outside for one game seems kind of pointless and not entertaining when guys are, you know, when teams are shooting 15% from three because the wind is picked up and you're missing three after three.
I think it's outstanding.
You were the only one.
All right, big game tonight for Marquette as they take on Purdue. Battle of ranked squads. Can Marquette knock off Purdue tonight at Fiserv Forum? 8 o'clock tip. I'll be down there. Gabe will be down there. We might see each other for a smidge.